The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Settles right in there. Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mind. I'm here with my co-host, Janet Chandler. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. I need to give the feminine aspect of our opinions here.
I'm so glad you're going to do that. We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. At 96.5 FM, the music does sound better. We are your talk radio room. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever. You can go to that website, and you will find us, and you can hear all our shows from years and years ago if you wish. We're pretty excited this morning. We have a guest on, a dear friend and a patriot, Marley Hornick, of American Sovereign, or excuse me, United Sovereign Americans. And just have to work on this. It's the first day of my new tongue. So getting that all squared away. I got a smile out of Janet there. Anyway, we have Marley on the line. Marley, how are you, my dear?
Hey, Terry. It's good to talk to you as always.
Well, we're excited to have you on. And we'd like you to start off with talking a little bit about your organization. I do want to add this, that United Sovereign Americans has been amazing. It seems to be the one process to regain our liberty and our vote that most people agree on, which is a shock these days that people aren't, everybody seems to have their own thing, but this seems to be something that you guys are doing that is amazing. And without further ado, I want you to get into it a little bit and just give us a quick background on what it is, where you are, and where we're going.
Sure. Well, United Sovereign Americans is an all-volunteer citizens organization, a nonprofit under the law that was formed because it looked like neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party nor any politicians or officials had a vested interest in the principle of government by consent that the founders bequeathed the American people as the sovereign of this country. So we decided if no one else was going to get this done, we were going to have to get it done. And we took the work that I had done with my organization in New York, New York Citizens Audit, which was like a specific and particular way of approaching the audit of the statewide voter registration list and voter participation histories, that basically exposed not list maintenance failures by the states, but what appears to be a massive breach of the system in terms of the registration of voters, the assignment, distribution, and counting of ballots, and the reconciliation and certification of the system as a whole. So we set out, Harry and myself, my co-founder of United Sovereign Americans, Harry Howery, who was one of the authors of the Help America Vote Act and is a significant national expert in not only cybersecurity, but like overall system security.
Mm-hmm.
And information assurance. And we started the organization to make those arguments across the country. And so the American people could have a vehicle to win back the principle of free and fair elections. Otherwise, Terry, what are we doing here? We're taking a side in a massive, like, coliseum, you know, a gladiator event.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we're supposed to be doing here, and that's not the best outcome for our children. And, you know, everyone knows what happened in Rome. They lost their republic.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen here. So fundamentally, United Sovereign Americans formed to solve the problem that no one else was willing to solve on behalf of us. We have to do it. And so we developed not only a data strategy, but a litigation strategy that is designed to continually escalate our claims until they reach the Supreme Court and we get either total compliance with a legally valid 2024 election or total accountability on the part of the officials who simply refuse to answer to the American people who paid us.
Yeah, you know, the state of California, we did a podcast just recently with Marley. You can go to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, the podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Rumble. The last two episodes were amazing. Marley did 2 half-hour episodes with us explaining this stuff, but you went into to California and some details in that and the voter ratio, how many votes that could be considered bad votes. What is it, 1 in every 125,000, something like that, or that's a statistic that was given out. Could you go into that a little bit and talk a little bit about California, what you found, what you're looking at, and how we're looking to solve the problem?
You want me to go into it today a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
Is that what you'd like to do? Because if you'd like to do it, I'd like you to do it. But if you, yeah, I think that'd be good. Did you have something else in mind, though?
We could do that. I think it's really, you know, one of those things that's really on my mind right now.
Yes.
Is, you know, let's do a summary of California and
yes.
then let's talk about what it means on a national basis, because we really did cover California comprehensively. In California, we found, you know, nearly 8 million registration records inside of the voter registration list, which is, you know, the official list of registered voters for the state of California. That's it. Like, you can go to Saturn and back, and there's no other official record. This is the only one. And their voting history on an individual basis. It's the raw data must substantiate any claims made by election officials or other state officials regarding the outcome of elections in California. So, yeah, we found nearly 8 million registration records that have disqualifying errors within them. Now, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 allows voter applicants to make mistakes in their application. That is not the same thing as allowing the election officials to enter those mistakes into the database. They have to enter accurate and current voter registration information because the voter rolls are the spring from which the entire election flows. So if that spring is tainted by uncertainty, then the entire election becomes untainted by uncertainty. So in California's 2022 midterm, you know, at the time of certification, there were nearly 8 million registered voters who had issues like, for example, they were registered to vote after they had already voted in a federal election.
Wow.
But these were new registration records. They were backdated in the registration rolls, meaning they didn't exist in a prior copy, but this new copy says, hey, they were registered to vote, you know, 30 years ago. So how does that happen? Who's making these edits? Who's entering this false information at the scale of 8 million records? And then you find out, hey, you know, 2.7 million of them voted in the 2022 midterm.
Wow.
Well, how did that happen?
Right.
how did an election official 2.7 million times grant someone a ballot whose registration record is deficient? It's missing information. The applicant or the voter now in this case has no address. How did they decide which ballot to give a voter who has no address? Because it's not just, you know, well, in 2022, there were perhaps statewide races relative to California, but not federally. So how does that even happen? And then, you know, ultimately we come out, I think there was over 200,000 more votes that were counted according to the certified total than the state has any record of people who voted according to the raw data. So they never reconciled. They just counted a whole bunch of votes that came out from some black hole with no voter attached. And they end up with a 26% error rate in the counting of votes, which is a 1 in 4 error. When, like Perry was saying, Congress allows for a maximum error of 1 out of every 125,000 votes. That's what Congress decided was required, necessary, and proper to have a legally valid, reliable federal election of its own members. So that's like an overview of what we found in California.
That's perfect. That's the reason go ahead. Did you have something
else? Go ahead.
The reason I brought that up is our radio audience and our live stream, and we live stream worldwide on this program, is sometimes a different audience than we get to speak to on our podcast, only because this is live. So people can listen. People are listening to this right now and listening to it on their computer and on their radio, etc. And so a lot of things that, for example, some people may get this program before they ever even watch the two podcasts, which, again, I recommend everybody does. But what I'd like to do, Marley, is just turn this over to you. This is your party. I want to hear what's on your mind, what's on your heart. So roll it.
All right. What I'm thinking about, Terry, and what everyone at United Sovereign Americans is thinking about, which is now literally tens of thousands of people who have signed an agreement to solve this problem together with dignity and according to the law, so that our beautiful country doesn't fray any further. What's on my mind today is that we're 3 weeks away from what appears as though it's going to be another legally invalid process. And many states have already begun administering what we have proven to be a legally invalid process. And it's invalid because it's uncertain. The third sentence of the United States Constitution says the people of the several states shall choose the representatives. But when you have a 26% error rate in the counting of the vote, it was the bureaucrats who assigned representatives. They assigned your leaders in California. They assigned them in Ohio, they assigned them in Florida, they assigned them in Colorado, Georgia, New York, Texas, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Everywhere we look, our leaders are being assigned to us. And what I want to say first and foremost is it is not too late. The litigation strategy that USA has developed involves, back in March was our first lawsuit filed in federal court in the state of Maryland. And we have since filed in a total of 9 states in federal court, asserting that the fundamental right of every American citizen is going to be abridged in 2024. It was abridged in 2022. And if the state isn't forced by the court to fix the problem, it's going to happen again. Now, what that gives us is a couple of different kinds of leverage. The first thing it gives us is leverage to file injunctions as soon as the election process is shown and proven to be invalid on a legal basis, which is to say there are more errors already taking place than Congress allows. And the state officials are denying their responsibility to investigate the errors and repair them or discover if there was a breach of the system. So that means two things. That means that United Sovereign Americans, which is 100% comprised of volunteers who have spent hundreds of thousands of hours now and input millions of dollars of skilled auditing labor and legal research and other kinds of research.
Marley, we're getting a lot of feedback on your phone. It sounds like there's wind blowing in, and we're getting some feedback here. We didn't quite get that last part, so I don't know what that is, but it sounds like wind and noises in the background. But yeah, anyway, maybe you could just do that last little part again. That was really great. I just want to make sure the folks hear it. Go ahead.
So what we're talking about is that the state officials are willing, they were willing in 2022 to certify an invalid election, and they are willing to do it again because they've not changed anything in their system, and they've completely ignored the cries of the American people talking about vulnerabilities we have identified in the system breaches. And so there's no hope in sight except for the fact that we have standing to file injunctions against the certification of a sham process based on civil rights, which is how we argued our original lawsuits and how we will argue these injunctions. Now, because of the horrific attacks on and the horrific resistance to allowing black people to vote that led to the Civil War, part of what led to the Civil War, part of what was being adjudicated and determined by Congress after the Civil War, we have a statute that allows American citizens to file in civil court against officials who deprive them of a fundamental constitutional right, acting under color of law. It's a Title 42, Section 1983 lawsuit. And it allows citizens to make a claim based on civil rights in federal court when state officials deny them a fundamental right and when those state officials are doing this, they are often, and in the case of the voting right, it's certain, stripped of official immunity. They're sued personally. And there's two kinds of relief that the courts can provide on this basis. And one of them is damages, and the other one is an injunction against any further injury to that fundamental constitutional right, which is, again, the third sentence of the United States Constitution, the right on the people to choose representatives.
Yep.
So when an official asserts that right and privilege above or instead of the American people, that is probably the most severe kind of civil rights abridgment that can take place, which is why in United v. Classic, which went to the Supreme Court in 1941, in In re Coy, which went to the Supreme Court in 1888, and in U.S. v. Anderson, which didn't even go to the Supreme Court because the circuit court was just like, this is so obvious. Why? All of those three cases involved election officials who had certified false returns and went to federal prison. This is our precedent, and this is our liberty on the line. What United Sovereign Americans needs right now from every American who wants to see this win, just like it has won in the past, we need your treasure. We really, really need help to fund the next 10 lawsuits. With 10 lawsuits, we can win. With one more lawsuit, we can really, really make a huge difference. And with, let's say, 3 to 6 more lawsuits after that, what we're doing, you see, is we are securing our claim over 274 electoral college votes. Hear me say this again. The people of the several states are securing our claim over 274 electoral college votes. No one is allowed to win this presidential election if the people don't believe that the election was legitimate. Not according to the people's idea of what makes it legitimate, but according to a relationship established between the court, the people, and the state that involves verification of each person who votes, and it also involves a comprehensive, randomized, statistically valid audit of every single process that the election officials undergo, so that everyone can trust the outcome. But over 274 electoral college votes, our goal is to say, we're not just going to take your word for it. This is this country belongs to the American people. That's who it belongs to. So at a bare minimum, our next lawsuit will do just that. It will secure the next 101 electoral college votes as a matter of law and civil rights. And then the ability to continue arguing them in the courts really depends on everyone deciding if you want to support this process. It's basically, we're down to the circumstance where you can either help us reach victory or you can live with regret, because we have 3 weeks to go. The other thing everyone needs to know is that at the United Sovereign Americans website, uniteforfreedom.com, UNITE number 4 freedom.com, you can hit the 2024 election complaint button. If you have any trouble when you're voting, or you know anyone who has trouble voting, including the people you went to like kindergarten with, you got to tell everybody, because we don't have the microphone. We have Terry. We have a couple other great hosts across the country. The War Room loves us, but it's really hard to get this message out. So you have to find all your people and tell them, even the ones you think might not want to hear from you. If you tell them this is about civil rights and about bringing all Americans back to the table to make sure our democratic process works, for all we know, they might be right on board with that. So do it. Now, if you have a trouble voting, or any of these other folks have trouble voting, which can include, you know, you get a mail-in ballot for someone who doesn't live at your house and never did, or any of these other, you know, kind of so-called glitches that plague our voting systems for whatever reason, exclusively on election day, please report them to United Sovereign Americans using the 2024 election complaint form. What you're going to do is you're going to fill in the form. You're going to get a copy of the form to make your claim and your concern into evidence. You have to take that document, and you're going to get an email that tells you exactly where to send it. Super easy. You're going to send that document to your chief election official, your attorney general, and the attorney general of the United States of America. And now they have the information, and they have a choice. They can act on it or they can ignore it. If they act on it, we'll have a valid election. If they ignore it, we'll have the evidence in real time that we need to hold them accountable for deprivation of rights acting under color of law in flagrant violation of the standard of reliability that Congress set before a United States congressional election can be certified. So those are my two asks for everybody in America. If you want to win, we need your help now. If you can send $10 and you can get 100 people to send $10, that's a lot of money for us. We have a really small budget. We're just paying our attorneys, and we have fabulous attorneys. Our national litigation manager is Bruce Castor Jr., the former Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and the man who was the winning counsel in the second impeachment trial of Donald Trump in front of the U.S. Senate. This is a person who knows how to win in deep constitutional territory. So you can trust in our attorneys. You can trust in our integrity. What we want is the same want. We want to save America. We want to save it for our children. We want to preserve the liberty that the framers secured for us. We're tired of the abridgment of our United States Constitution, and we're tired of sham elections being rammed down the throats of the American people as factual. If you're tired of it too, please help us. Help us with your election complaints and help us with your donations, and please do it now. There's no time to waste.
We are going to go off for our one and only break. Marley, can you stay with us through the break?
Sure.
Oh, that's great. Okay, because I want you to, that is so important. We've got to talk more and more about that, and we need to get all your information. So, folks, we need to donate. Well, Janet, time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done. See you on the other side.
Psalm 23, when I'm scared to death. A sleeping pill when my mind won't rest. A little baby king when the thrill is gone. These are the things that I lean on. God's grace when I'm walking on a dangerous path. 12 steps when I need to find my way back. A mama's voice on the telephone. These are the things I need.
Harvest time means cash time at Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us for our $50,000 cash harvest. Swipe to win drawing. Swipe your free River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes. Win up to $200 free slot play at weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Don't miss the final drawing on September 26th and October 31st for a chance to win up to $2,000 cash. For complete details, see WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our fifth anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start with 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. Needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power Soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Laux Landscape Supply October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at LauxLandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. For all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs, Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Long like this. We can't live long like this. Emmy Lou Harris. Yes. Ain't living long like this. Good job, Sally Lou. Playing Emmy Lou. Emmy Lou Harris. Marley Hornick. And we are here with Marley Hornick. Marley, this is really some great stuff. There's other court cases out there. Janet, during the break, had asked me a question. She's got a question for you.
Hello, Marley. I am the co-host today, Janet. I love the idea of taking it to court and winning. The problem is that in California, we have the Ninth Circuit, and we have not had great success in taking civil rights, constitutional rights cases to court. I see you are certain that you have standing. I would like to have you explain how you know and you will be successful with the standing issue. I also want to ask about the Ninth Circuit, how you think you could win with the Ninth Circuit, how the Ninth Circuit, with our experience, has been to keep fighting back and ignoring until somebody either dies or you run out of money. So how do you plan to fight the fight, particularly in not a favorable district, and win this case with a federal system that does not seem to want to give you what you want?
Well, we didn't file in the Ninth Circuit for exactly all of those reasons, just to be clear, because
good idea.
We don't think
idea, girl.
It's really a wise idea to take people's hard-earned dollars and just light them with a match, just to be quite honest. You know, I know a lot of people wanted to see the original lawsuit, the mandamus lawsuit, filed in California, and, you know, we disappointed some people, but we refused to do it for exactly all the reasons you just brought up. But that doesn't preclude United Sovereign Americans from securing a legally valid election for the state of California by operating outside of that restrictive structure. How we're going to accomplish that, what exactly the next lawsuit entails, is something that I am not at liberty right now to divulge. We will be filing it within the next 10 business days. And then I'll be happy to come back on and divulge away.
Excellent. We'll hold you to that.
I can't. Good.
Okay. And what
I like it when people hold me to things, because I'm so tired of people never getting held to account. So please, hold me to account.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing.
That's my job.
I'm laughing because I know you. And I knew where you were going to go with the answer on that. Great answer. you know, the thing is that now you did explain how – if we got, and just give me the process on this. Let's say you have eight states that look at something the same way, have the same set of facts. Those eight states go in. It's presented in a federal case. Five of the states are saying one thing. The other three are disagreeing. Or maybe five are concurring that we've had this issue. We've had these issues. And three are saying no, but the five somehow create a situation where they override the three. And I know I probably have that a little bit jumbled. So maybe you can kind of unjumble my jumble.
Sure. Why don't I just go ahead and give an overview of how the strategy works?
Love it.
Because there's multiple lawsuits, and each of them accomplishes a different important or mission-critical task. And I want people to understand that this wasn't just, you know, we didn't just throw some lawsuits at the wall. We didn't just come up with a novel idea and throw it at the wall. We spent a year and a half, myself and Harry Howery and many of the United Sovereign Americans volunteers, comprehensively studying how to prosecute election misconduct according to the United States Department of Justice, according to the United States Supreme Court, and according to God. And so the strategy we developed is designed to have no gaps. That means it's a little bit, what you would call it, it's kind of fantastic. And so when people hear about it in an almost magical way, think, oh, too fantastic, it actually works. So the first stage of litigation was the mandamus lawsuits that we filed. Those are lawsuits. A mandamus is an order that the court gives a state to follow the law, to comply with ministerial duties that the state is using to perform. We argue that as a matter of civil rights, we argue that the failure on the part of the states to perform these ministerial functions, controlling the registration process, controlling the distribution of ballots to authorize qualified citizen voters, forming reconciliation of returns, and all of those other functions, we argue that
you're breaking up a little, Marley. You're breaking up a little bit.
Sorry.
That's okay. We only get you got 20 minutes. Roll it. It's fine. It's just that you were kind of breaking up there. We only were getting about every other word, and it was great stuff. Go ahead.
Sorry. I guess I'm out for some fresh air, which I don't often get these days. So the state fundamentally fell down on the job regarding the registration of voters, the control of that process, meaning we allow the qualifiable citizens on the list, what the law requires. They only allow those people to get, they only count ballots or votes that come to people. They reconcile the election. And then, because they want to make sure the American people believe them, they show us the, so the state failed on all of those fronts. In every, so this is, the mandamus is ordered to perform all of the ministerial duties. It's not just clean the voter rolls, not a clean the voter rolls approach or an argument. And we filed those in Maryland, Virginia, Ohio, Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, Colorado, and Georgia. This is what we did because we love America. Nobody told us to do this or how to do this. We figured it out because we love the country. So that's 7 federal circuits. With the mandamus lawsuits, one of the things that we set into position is filing in 7 different federal circuits is that if one of them disagrees inclusion with the other one, the Supreme Court is forced to hear the matter. They cannot, I assert, they have to hear the case. And because when there's a dispute between different circuits of the federal court system, there's only one court that has the authority to make a final decision, and that's the Supreme Court. So we set that decision. We laid that one outcome. Now, the thing that we set in position with those 9 lawsuits, because we argue those on the base civil rights, we said a fundamental constitutional right is being deprived here. It's not being, when it fails to perform these ministerial duties, they are failed to perform what Congress defined as a requirement necessary.
Right.
Or to have a legal viable election.
You're breaking up a lot. What we're going to do is I want you to hang up, and our producer is going to call you back from the studio right away. He's going to call you back because we're getting about every other word, and this stuff is really great. So he's going to call you back in just a couple of minutes. So hang up, my dear, and he'll call you back in just 1 minute. And, folks, just hang on here a little bit. We're going to have Janet sing for you while we're waiting for our producer to – You want to sing something?
Oh, no, we want to keep the audience here. Come on.
Our producer will let us know the minute he gets Marley back on the line. And,
we are so often asking, well, what can I do? What can I do? Well, she's giving you an idea here of what you can do. Go to that website and punch on that button and see how you can donate. This looks like another possibility for action.
And the website is? United for America, correct?
No, it's United.
Oh, you're there. Hi.
Number 4 freedom.com.
That's right.
UNITE number 4 freedom.com.
Yeah.
Don't listen to Terry.
You're back and we can hear you great.
Okay, good.
Okay, roll
it.
Go ahead.
What I was saying is what our lawsuits argue at the first level is that when the state fails to perform these ministerial functions, they fail to secure the fundamental right of every American citizen to choose representatives. So that gives us an opportunity based on precedent. So when I say precedent, what I mean is that these are decisions that courts have made in the past. And usually what courts do is they try as best as they can to resolve the matter in the same way that it's been resolved historically when they don't know what to do. So what the courts have decided in other lawsuits where citizens have sought to protect their civil right of suffrage in advance of the election by filing for relief before the harm could take place, is that the courts, the federal courts, have determined that those citizens have secured the right to file lawsuits. So they've been seen as having standing when they file a lawsuit that is an injunction against the certification of that process when the injury occurs. And what has happened is that in the past, federal courts have actually thrown out an entire election. Because what happens when the election becomes marred by uncertainty is that no one knows who won. And when you certify an election where that is the case, like what happened in California in 2022, where you have one out of every four ballots appears to be fraud. Nobody knows if it is because the state refuses to check the records and figure it out, but they certified it anyway. When that happens, you can't make a decision. A judge can't make a decision about who won. The election officials can't make the decision about who won, and the ballots are all scrambled up together and nobody can pull it apart. It's impossible to resolve. So there have been instances in our history based on civil rights where federal courts have thrown out an election and forced the election officials to readminister the process. And they will typically appoint something like a special master to oversee that repaired process because they want to make sure that the second time through everyone can trust it. Because of course, this is a huge problem, right? It creates issues with continuity of governance. It creates issues with disenfranchisement because you can never get the same set of voters out twice. So fundamentally, you cannot recreate the election. And it also creates, you know, doubt in the minds of American citizens, which equals doubt in our institutions, which makes our country weaker. When people feel disenfranchised by their own system, they no longer feel happy to be Americans, right? I think we see that everywhere right now.
Yeah, it's a
so
shame.
And that's part of what can happen, and that we would have standing to make those arguments to say this process can't be certified. Now, of course, we would like to do that before the election, and that's our next lawsuit. We don't want to have to wait until after the election, but so far the mandamus lawsuits have not been heard yet. Every single state has sought to dismiss the mandamus lawsuits, which is really a travesty. It is really, really sad for the American people that the election officials and the attorney generals of these states are all willing to stand there and say, no, this looks fine to us. This looks perfectly acceptable. And these people are trying to cause problems for our country. Now, there are also remedies that have been applied in the past when a state has dramatically failed to uphold the legitimacy of the federal government. It's a slightly different circumstance with a very interesting and potentially overlapping outcome. In 1868, Congress refused to recognize the government of six southern states in the ratification of the 14th Amendment. Because those states had betrayed the fundamental agreement, the treaty agreement made by the states when they ratified the Constitution. Because the Constitution authorizes the federal government to do things like make treaty agreements, make trade agreements on an international basis, you know, start and end wars, support allies overseas. There is a lot of authority that the federal government has based on each of these states retaining their commitment to that treaty. And at the end of the Civil War, it was basically determined, there's a brilliant researcher who's unfortunately left us, Herman Bells, who did a ton of work. You can read his papers on Law and Liberty and many other places. He has books and everything. But he talks about what the courts identified as the indestructible union of indestructible states was the goal of sovereignty. So the federal government is sovereign, the states are sovereign, and the individual is sovereign in America. But after the Civil War, when they refused to acknowledge these state governments and allow them their congressional representative votes in ratifying the 14th Amendment, they took a really bold step, and they basically said federal sovereignty is more important than state sovereignty. Also, Texas, Mississippi, and Virginia were denied, they were denied participation in either the popular vote or the electoral college vote in the 1868 presidential election on the same basis. Now, fast forward, the second section of the 14th Amendment says that when a state, not the officials, but the state itself, is found to have denied or abridged the voting right of its eligible citizen voters in any way, that state can be sanctioned on the basis of apportionment. And the ratio at which the state would be sanctioned is the number of disenfranchised voters in the state compared to the total population of voters of that state. But when you certify a sham federal election, you disenfranchise everyone in the state, no matter what their political party is.
Mm-hmm.
So this could, I'm not saying this is likely, I'm not saying it's what I personally want or what United Sovereign Americans wants, but this is a remedy at law when you have a crisis of this proportion. When you have a state that has been advised of its issues, before filing a lawsuit, on filing a lawsuit and now continuing and ongoing, and they refuse to provide their citizens with a legally reliable election in the election of their federal representatives, the state is undermining their commitment to the federal government and undermining the legitimacy of U.S. Congress. That's what they're doing. So it's not just a deprivation of rights of the citizens. It's actually much, much deeper.
Yes.
So these are all remedies that have been used. They exist in the law because of James Madison's fear that states could go rogue and deprive their citizens of suffrage. This is in the ratification debates from Virginia in 1787. I mean, this is not a new concept, what we're dealing with. So there are all these solutions, and I don't mean to get everybody tangled down in all these remedies and possibilities, but I want you to know. And then finally, at the end of the day, we also have that remedy, which is to sue officials personally as citizens for deprivation of civil rights under color of law. And they are stripped when the right that is being protected, and this is upheld in U.S. v. Classic, when the right that is under scrutiny, as, has it been injured, is within Article 1 of the United States Constitution, which the right of suffrage is the only civil right that is in the Constitution itself, not the Bill of Rights. Those authorities are stripped of sovereign immunity. They have no official immunity, and you can sue them personally. Again, is that what I want? No. What United Sovereign Americans wants is a legally valid 2024 election. But this is one of those circumstances that the framers always talked about, where you have to have manly firmness. If you want to save this country, if you want to be sure that we preserve and protect the liberty that our forefathers and now our foremothers fought and sometimes died to give us, we have to hold the line. We have to take this all the way to the mat, and we have to hear that bell ring on our beloved country. And that's what this is really about. And all of these remedies are very dramatic, and they may or may not ever be implemented. What we want is the officials to stop defending an atrocious effort and start complying with the law, so we can get back to having democratic processes where every American feels that their input matters. That's what's going to save our country. That's the way we're supposed to operate.
Well said. And that's the thing. I think that, folks, you just heard it. This has to be shared, especially the last 20 minutes of this program. That's why I believe that so many people, even though they're from different camps, all are agreeing with what you're doing. And again, we want to hear about the website. We want to hear about where people donate. We want to hear about what we can do as citizens. I want to hear that stuff again, so it really starts to sink in. Folks, take out your pens and pencils. You can even go back to the archive and listen to this, but Marley, give it to us, kiddo.
Sure. The website, again, is uniteforfreedom.com, U-N-I-T-E, number 4, freedom.com. We're on X at United S American, or you can find me on X at Marley Hornick, which I'm not even going to try to spell for you. You can donate through uniteforfreedom.com. if you want a beautiful United Sovereign Americans t-shirt and you're willing to give us at least $100, you can do that through usaforfreedom.com. You can make a $100 donation there and we'll get you a t-shirt. You can send your election complaint through uniteforfreedom.com. Hit the 2024 election complaint button. There's a 3-minute video that shows you how, you know, you're going to fill out this form. You're going to get this email. Check your spam if you don't see it in your inbox. And then you're going to send the document you get to your election officials. And that's what makes it evidence. You can't skip that step. And you can't make them investigate your claim when you post it on Facebook, so please don't bother. Let's do the heavy lifting together and make this a success for our posterity. So those are basically what we need. Donations through uniteforfreedom.com, election complaints through uniteforfreedom.com. Find us on X if you're out there. Post our stuff, you know, repost everything. Help more people get this information. And I just want to thank you again, Terry, for always giving United Sovereign Americans the platform and the opportunity to reach more Americans with this beautiful opportunity that we all have.
Well, I want to thank you, Marley. I mean, the one thing that Marley Hornick does, I could spell it. but you know, the thing that you do is you're able to take what some people make a difficult subject and break it down to where it's palatable, to where people really understand it. I want to also let you folks know that on Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, the podcast, the last two episodes were with Marley Hornick. They're amazing. She goes through this material. You can watch it, pause it. It's on Rumble. You can go to Rumble. You can go to Facebook. You can go to mountaintopmedia.com, all one word, mountaintopmedia.com. And we will have Marley on, and we'll be doing a podcast and a radio program once she's able to give us the skinny on California for you folks in California. And, Marley, I want to thank you again, my dear. I know you took time away from your family and your kids and stuff to do this for us today. You're a true American, and we love you.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, everybody. I can't wait to meet you at uniteforfreedom.com. Thank you for your support, your donations, and your election complaints.
All right.
Thank you, Marley.
Thank you, Marley. Well, Janet, an amazing person. She, you know, the thing that's so neat about her, she's a mom. She's a stay-at-home mom.
Well, you know, you make that sound as if it's unusual that she should be doing something as a mom.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, she's standing up with a family that she takes care of. She's standing up. We're the men in this country. I always seem to ask that, and I know that
we've talked about this before.
We did. It just frustrates
the
hell out of me.
It's the women who are out there working and doing.
And that's what I loved about your husband. You know, what a great man he was. I mean, he was a man's man, okay? And no, he wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but you know what? If you had to count on somebody in a foxhole or somebody who was going to stand there and do the right thing with you, that was the guy. We need more heralds in the world.
That's true. He had his role, and I have mine, and they weren't the same, and that's why we went so well together.
Anyway, we'll be doing this again next Sunday. We'll be having another show, but also we're going to get Marley back in. We'll do a podcast with her. We want to really break this down. And again, I want to encourage you folks to watch those podcasts. It's very, very, very important because what it does is it you're able to not only visualize, but you can stop it. You can take down the notes on what you need to do. But we really need to help United Sovereign Americans. Remember, that's unite4freedom.com. Unite4freedom.com. And with that, I think we're getting near the end of the line here. Another show. So, Janet, thank you. I know it's an effort to make it down from Bernie. Love having you here. And yeah, you're going to be able to make it next week?
Yes, I am.
All right.
As long as there's no, you know, there wasn't any smoke in Redding, but there's smoke between when you're dropping off the mountain and around Palo Cedro, and then the smoke clears up. It's perfectly clear in Bernie, though.
Sounds great. So at this point, everybody, I believe that time has come.
4:51.
We better get it done.
What things mighty clear, God sets up kingdoms. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.